cry and I cry. Holy, holy is the Lord. And I cry. Holy, holy is the Lord. And we cry.
Holy, holy, holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and became subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only, your one and only, your eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now, as our Savior Jesus Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We're going to serve communion at the front of the church today. I'd like to invite the servers to come forward, please, and join me at the front. During the serving of communion, the worship team are going to be leading in worship and in song, and we invite you, as you remain seated, to just enjoy the time quietly communing with the Lord. If you'd like to pray with the person you're with quietly, that would be most appropriate to express your own thanks to the Lord. We invite you to come forward as you are ready to come. And we will serve you the bread and the cup. We invite you, please, as you'll serve the bread, take the bread immediately. We wish we had an altar rail here that you could kneel. But we bow the knee in our hearts, don't we? We bow the knee. When we serve you the bread, please take the bread immediately, and then we will serve you the cup. But take the cup, we'll receive back the receptacle, and just make your way back to your seat. And as you see places available, just come forward as we continue together in worship. Lord Jesus, your word encourages us to wait upon you and also to wait for one another at this meal. And therefore, I just pray that our fellowship and communion with you in the taking, in the receiving, in the praying, in the communing will be sweet and precious. And in the communing in worship, and in the communing with one another at the place of prayer. Lord, as we touch one another, as we reach out to another to ask them to pray for us or with us, we ask, Lord, for that humility of spirit that will both bless and be able to humbly receive. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd first like to invite Bo's home group to come forward, as they will be leaving early to do some preparation for us. Thank you, Steve. Just come and line right along the front.
Yeah. King of Kings.
the beginning of the service, I quoted John 8:14. John 13:3, Jesus said, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Three things that Jesus knew. He knew where he'd come from, he knew where he was going, and he knew why he'd come. And I'd humbly suggest to you those are three things that every man and woman needs to know. Let me just, at this communion table, remind you of some of Jesus' answers by reading the scriptures of why he came. There'll be much that'll be said this Christmas, there'll be much that Jesus said that won't be referred to. And this would be an appropriate place to listen to Jesus. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why did Jesus come? But to save the world through him. That's a superb place to start with the words of Jesus, because here Jesus is presenting this wonderful gospel. Jesus comes and offers his life. It says he does not condemn us. We will condemn ourselves if we respond by refusing the gift rather than receiving it. He didn't come to condemn, but to convert. Matthew 5:17, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Jesus wasn't a New Age movement, but a completion of the old age. He spoke with authority. To the ears of some, he seemed to challenge Moses' law. This is a crucial statement in understanding why Jesus came that clearly establishes Jesus was not a leader of a new sect or a mystery religion or a personality cult or a higher consciousness movement. And it's clearly more than simply saying love is all you need. Jesus came confirming the Old Testament propositions, the doctrine that we read about in the Old Testament, the revealed instruction about God and man and salvation. And Jesus came to bring completion to God's covenant plan of salvation. Not just the propositions of the Old Testament, but the prophecies of the Messiah to come. Jesus came as fulfillment of prophecy and spoke of Scripture as a witness to him. And all the precepts of the Old Testament, all the ethical demands, the moral law of God, fulfilled by Jesus through his obedience, his perfect obedience to the law. So Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come in opposition to the law, but in fulfillment and fruition of it. Or as Paul says in Romans 10, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law. But the law that sentenced us to death took his life. He has given us a way of exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees by empowering us to have a heart that is cleansed redemptively, not just hands that are washed ritualistically. Jesus came to kindle in us the private motivation for righteousness and deliver us from simply public manners. So he didn't come to repeal the law. He came to restore it. Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister. There's another reason why Jesus came. He didn't come to seek the satisfaction of his needs, but ours. You know, so many people fear that if they get too close to Jesus, that he will suck the blood out of them. He came to give his blood. Not legalistic demands, loving desires that are righteous according to the law. He does make demands, but they're the demands of a lover. Why did Jesus come? Not to get, but to give. Matthew 9:13, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He did not come for the up and aways, but the down and outs. For those who know, knew, and confess their need. And that's why we often say at COSC, and you'll often hear me say, that maybe the purest worship that maybe we ever utter when we think we've gone to the ultimate worship seminar is the cry of help that comes from a heart that is acknowledging in its desolation there is no other place to go. He came not for the lofty, but the lowly. Why did Jesus come? Not to collect nice people, but to call needy ones. Matthew 10:34. Why did Jesus come? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He didn't come to make us feel good with the status quo, or to give a varnish or veneer of tranquility to our lives. He didn't come to provide resolutions for troubles, but reconciliation for troublemakers. He didn't market religious, flowery wallpaper to cover cracks and make us feel at home with appearances of serenity. He came to call us to accountability before God that would divide us from our past lives and lovers and from anything and everything that is an easy peace. Why did Jesus come? Not to pacify, but to purify. 1 John 3:8. Why did Jesus come? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. What a crucial insight, and that this should come from the so-called apostle of love who leaned on Jesus' breast and enjoyed the gentleness of his intimacy. Such strong language in John's mouth. You see, the incarnation had a destructive purpose: to undo, demolish, unravel the works of the devil in the world and right at home in our personal lives. And it's why John goes on to say that a Christian cannot continue in sin. For the concern for what is going on in our life, brought to God, will lead to a conviction by the Holy Spirit, which will lead us to a clean confession. Why did Jesus come? Not to depose the devil, but to destroy the devil and his works. All of these statements that I have read from Jesus' mouth and from his followers, all of them are statements of purpose. All of these statements of purpose culminate in the cross of Jesus. In the words of Jesus, John 18:37, "For this reason I came to testify to this truth." John 12:27, "Why did Jesus come? For this reason I came to this hour." Jesus came as God's last word. God's last word of salvation, as well as God's last word of judgment. But Jesus was unashamed to say, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And what we must say at this table, because the context in which we take this, have taken this cup and taken this bread, is a context of an open heaven, and Jesus is coming again. There is another advent. And therefore, we encourage one another. If we do not know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, it's not an encouragement. But we can know Him that it is an encouragement and not a threat. And that we can say, "For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory." Matthew 16:27, "With His angels, and then," words of Jesus, "He will reward each person according to what he has done." This is the context of our communion, our Christmas communion. We remember his first coming, but we remind ourselves of his second coming. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let me remind you, amidst all the hallmark greetings, why Jesus came: not to condemn us, but to convict and change us; not to repeal God's laws, but restore them; not to get from us, but to give to us; not to collect the nice, but to call the needy; not to pacify us, but to purify us, not to depose Satan, but to destroy him. And I invite you, in your meditation, this incarnation season, to choose again in your life to personally appropriate anew these purposes that we know are for sure because they come from the mouth of Jesus and are clearly the record of Scripture. He came to give grace and he came to give truth to us tonight. Whatever the need, come to the one who came that you might have life and have it to the full. Therefore, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou now bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, who came, I come that I might be ready to run when you come again. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together. Words in your order of service.
There is a
invite you to remain standing before we just close our service with some closing worship. Dan, lovely to have you here today.
Yeah.
We said we'd all applaud when you came in. Christy, is your heart at rest now? Yeah. Okay. Just take the hand of your neighbor, would you, as we pray for these precious two. Lord, how we thank you together tonight that our steps are ordered of you. I thank you, Lord, for the commitment to know you and follow you that is the evident testimony of Dan and Christy as they have come among us and lived and walked among us. How we thank you for them, Lord. How I thank you for the first day they came through the back door of our church and brought with them your life in them. I thank you for the obedience in their hearts that made a commitment to be members of a local body of Christ. I thank you for the joy that came out of that. Lord, we're rather thrilled that they met each other here. And Lord, we pray for them tonight and bless them on the eve of their wedding tomorrow. Even as we've been singing, Lord, in anticipation of the marriage supper of the Lamb, we thank you that marriage is one of your great ideas. And therefore, you are committed to resource and equip them to be all that they are called to be and all that they need to be, together to you and to one another. And as a congregation, as friends and family, we set them apart to your purposes and to the direction of their life together as they become one flesh. We pray, Lord Jesus, for this next 24 hours, for the solemnization of these vows. Brood over this place by your Holy Spirit tomorrow as we gather.
Yes.
We pray, O Lord, that our hearts will be turned to you. We pray for a worship in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord Jesus, very particularly today for these two, as publicly they leave father and mother, and they leave, Lord, all that is past and choose to cleave to one another and become one flesh. And we bless their unity in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do good to these two, Lord Jesus, and fulfill all their hopes and longings and desires. Lord, I would add a P.S. I pray for them particularly at this time, Lord, where they're waiting to see where Dan will take his residency. Lord, you know we're greedy, and you know we'd love them to stay around here, Lord. So I don't see why I shouldn't pray for that today. If that's possible, Lord, I pray that you'll open up a residency in this area, whether it's George Washington or whatever. But Lord, you will give us the grace to bless them and release them wherever you should lead them to be. And I just pray, Lord, you'll give them a wonderful time away together, and that this whole process of finding the next place of job and hospital will be an ease, and your hand will be on it, and it'll be a first great experience for them of your leading and guiding and nurture and provision, and it'll be a precedent in their life that you've gone before them up till now, Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Therefore you are faithful for every millimeter of their journey until they meet you face to face. Dan, we bless you and love you. Christy, we bless you and love you, and we look forward to calling you Mr. and Mrs. tomorrow. The Lord bless you. Let's bless them with our love. All right.
Hallelujah. What a Savior we have, isn't it?
Amen.
What a Savior we have. As we close out our service, we're just going to sing another couple of songs here to just worship the Lord and thank Him for everything that He's done, and sing along with us, or just offer up your praises to Him in your hearts. He is a good God, and He's a good Savior.
Amen.
We're so grateful to Him.
We place you,
we place you
on the highest place.
On the highest place. Your feet.
Thank you so much that we are counted in you, that you've chosen us, and we bear your name. We thank you so much, Lord, that not only did you come, but you're going to come again, Lord. We ask you to come, Lord. Our hearts cry out to you, Lord. Lord, let the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come into us today, Lord, more fully, and fill us up with your sweet presence, we pray. Lord, as we go out, we pray that you would just fill us up with your presence, Lord. Fill us up with your sweet Spirit and brood over every one of us. Lord, I just pray over everyone who's got places to go, places to travel. We pray for your mercies over them, your protection. Lord, we pray you'd watch over them. We pray, Lord, for every family gathering. Lord, we ask you, we send each one as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, even to families that don't know you, Lord, and we pray for your anointing over them. We pray, Lord, that you would cover them, that they'd have the complete confidence of knowing that they're in the family of Christ, no matter what's going on in their family here, Lord. And they come in power. They come in the power of the love of and the truth of Jesus Christ. And we pray your blessing over them. We pray you'd bring back each one safely, Lord, as we come again to worship you in the new year. We thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and yours. Have a wonderful Christmas. And as Steve prayed, in the breaking of the bread, may there be a disclosure of Jesus around your tables. Share the peace one with another. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be on you all. The Lord bless you.